interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 418. For those of you in the past cast, you can get to some of the information in the content if our SEO grades are high enough. They might actually post us. Thank you, Grimner, for the audio check. This week, I think I put an inordinate amount of time to trying to find another broadcast system and just can't get it to work in Linux quite yet, although there's some interesting things that we can do. I think my days are numbered on Win 7. It's been pretty good to me, but I think there's something like, remember XP, I had my system set up perfect on XP. So don't laugh. It really went fast and it went quick and it did what I wanted. And then the day that the update stopped and the whatever they said they were not going to support it, that thing died. So this time I turned off all the updates since I got Windows 7. And we're about running out the system just doesn't want to keep up with what I still need. And so I've been working hard, maybe more time I should have spent to get this going. This week wasn't successful. Everybody says it's all the kind thing, broadcasters to set up, the types of distros to set up, and they're all cool, but they just didn't work. So moving on here, as we continue, neo-coronial cricketism. Folks, thank you out there who are actually doing something. Don't take it lying down. You're all doing something. And I appreciate hearing about it and what's happening, and people are motivating now. Finally, what can we say? It's all been available to us. I just can't tell you how easy it was to get at, and it's taken this much time for people to figure some things out. And we're, again, the point of some of the points are coming out from the courts, even so. They're not telling us exactly what it is, but they are, and they're agreeing that COVID-19 was something, but it's still through that, the law really still works if you get the proper court and judges. And that is not a good and easy thing. So that's why, again, I want to say, a lot of people are misunderstanding what I'm saying. I think I keep hearing reflections. I'm saying you need to go to court, and I've said, well, there is that. We all have that court thing, but I'm attempting to get people, I run into people that are in trouble and or running into a problem. And I've been trying to get you to understand the battlefield you're walking into that you probably don't even know that's there. And we're trying to avoid you going to court, at least if you can. We're trying to make, if you have to go, then we have a record that you can do. And I say that just as a reminder, we just had the Jefferson Mining District meeting. We met together, and one of the reports we had to make was another miner set a bad precedent. And they were told how they could avoid that. And they decided that they know better. They decided they take their knowledge that is inadequate and they apply that. Nobody could support what they were doing. They didn't go to the black and white. They didn't approach it through the black and white. They didn't make the proper record. They, in fact, denied a proper record, though they were advised against that and to do it more properly the whole time. This is years and years ago. That miner went to court to try and get his property rights, and the court fairly well denied that miners have any property rights. So now a bad precedent's been made. And you'll be that example if you don't listen to me, folks. If you don't listen Behind the Woodshed, you're going to be those examples. And I don't want to see anybody that example. At some point, you can avoid the courts, but at some point, you're going to get drug into them. And a lot of people, first instance of that is traffic. That's what the only thing people really recognize. Everybody else tries to avoid what's going on. And so we have some, again, real problems with, what should I say? People think that they know what's going on. And I say this and I, you know, it makes, well, what do I know? Well, I know enough. I've been around, I've had my beatings myself, and I've figured out that nobody has to be beat. In fact, it was just in the chat. You don't have to be suffering harms. You can set up things before. And if nothing else, you're minimizing those harms. And so this COVID was a prime example. And I'm just shocked in a way. I mean, this is like, I keep thinking, I've been talking about these kinds of things for a decade, over a decade. And as I think about it, I think we haven't even got a good answer. I think RLM anniversary for Behind the Woodshed happens this month, if it's not already just happened. We've been here at RLM. behind which I think it'll be 8 years. I don't know. I might have to go look and see. Change the blogcaster for everybody. And thank you, Grimner, for being my host here and the listener's host to allow all the archives and stuff that we do and your ability to hear this stuff. And again, it's all there. I know it's not in a format that's easy. It's not in a format that you can just cut and paste. And that's partly on plan and partly just out of necessity, as you see the censorship going on. And on that front, there's a lot of those of you that are syndicating. It doesn't matter what I say anymore. You got to be careful. They're going to YouTube censorship is looking for, I guess, words or whatever. They take this transcript that you can get. They go looking and parsing through that, and then they get you for having my broadcast on your channel. So be careful. I'm getting some more hits. Interestingly, some broadcasts get hit and others don't. So this is the stupidity behind how this all works. Cancel culture, I guess, is real. And again, a place like reallibertymedia.com is the independent, non-dependent. Thank you, Solomon. Hope you're still out there, wherever that is. The non-dependent source that you can come and get information. And again, it's not, you have to take this information, and it applies on a case-to-case basis. It's not a silver bullet. Never has been. There's never been a silver bullet in any of this, and people seem to think so. So before I get lost in all that, I want to kind of go down this as we have been. COVID fraud is just, it's a perfect setup. And if you set the record up, and we talked about how this was going to roll out, and we talked about how it was going to roll out to cover all this other technocratic nonsense and crime, and it has. And so, and again, the chat people recognize, you know, I've just explained that it was going to happen, how it was going to happen, how it was going to roll out, and it's happening that way. And it was told to us. We just read it. We just had to read. That's all. And it's not nothing, maybe nothing more than that, except having an insight, having more of a questioning mind to look at this. Not to look at everything as a wrong initially. In fact, you shouldn't look at everything as a wrong first. You go to try and find how it's right. But once you've studied enough and you find how it's right, or you find that the motive is wrong, then that's when you make considerations for whether or not it starts to rise up to the level that you're going to need to address. And this COVID fraud was one of those things, because it was going to come in and initiate the beginnings of the total lockdown and control, not just your external control, but your internal controls, where they actually, you know, the automaton zombie stuff. And you're seeing it. I don't know what to say, but there's more. You can reject it. That's okay. But and we're seeing lots of people going ahead and capitulating. And I think one of the comments may have been over at Normalization of Ignorance, if I remember correctly, somebody commented, or thank you very much there. Exasperation. Can't imagine their friends are just falling left and right to get the COVID for convenience. And so this is you're going to find your friends. You're going to be left alone. This is the standard knowledge. When you get into a new knowledge, you're going to be separate. You're going to separate yourself from the herd. And you're going to find your friends around you. It's like family not liking you because you start talking about the things you're finding in the law that's just too much for people. And they don't want to put up with it. They don't want to take that responsibility. And that's society. That's reality. That's what happened with the miners. The miners don't want to listen. It's a simple stuff, too. It's really, once you get a handle of this, it's really simple. And so you don't want to do and you alienate yourself by your knowledge. And this is what's going on. People are saying that they won't get these shots, these vaccines, so-called, the jab that we're finding out now. It's just coming out. They're just dangerous. They're hurtful. And people are capitulating and getting it for convenience sake. People who would say, they will tell you they won't get it, and then they get it. It's really kind of disconcerting. And so you end up standing feeling like you're the island. You know, the ocean is rising up around you. And that's the truth. There is a ocean. But I would ask everybody, consider for yourself your own decisions. They will never come and drown you. They can only come... The pressure can come to you and try to persuade you to submerge yourself in it, but you're there to make that final choice. And I'm asking you to prepare yourself as you have, if you hopefully you have been, get the knowledge in you and then refine that knowledge into very particular things, as I've told you how you refine, like we went through the regulation of a state into even the newfound negotiation that you're supposed to go through if you're going to go through an ADA complaint, an ADA provision. You now have to negotiate your access, which is supposed to be, that whole ADA on its face is supposed to not require special treatment. And so you see the whole thing is falling, this whole thing, the wheels are falling off of this, but you can be for you. Don't worry about others. Try to educate others, but if they don't want to hear it, they won't. For you, be the example for yourself. And if you hear in time, try to educate others about certain things they can go learn. This is not something you're going to tell anybody. This is what I've stopped doing. This is what I had a problem. People come and give me emails, want to tell me what things were, and I realize they don't even know what the heck they think they're doing. There's a re-education process that needs to go on before we can even start the journey. I can't even set them on a trailhead. There's no path to put anybody on. They're already lost. And it has to do with the misunderstanding of things. And it's not because of the way I see it. It's because when we go back to the black and white that they're going to have to utilize, and everyone does, you have to take on a whole different observation. And so what this Comey fraud was perfect. It was going to expose all this stuff, and not very many people took it on, and to the dismay of people that are still holding out, and a lot of us will, but the oppression is coming much, much stronger. So you're going to have to know more and more refined. You're not going to be talking about all your constitutional rights. You're really going to talk about the failure or the status that doesn't exist. Like I told you, the most recent usable court case was that the government had not, for someone they were targeting, had not demonstrated the necessity. And then, on the other, there's a second part, that they hadn't shown that one they were targeting was a risk to the public. And those two points are the result of what I've been talking about. And so you can speak in two sentences to assert that. And I use that when I was telling you how to address your so-called negotiation under ADA. You can go right through. The last thing was what? That their out was they could deem you to be a threat, a health threat, a risk. And I talked to you for over an hour, and then I said, so the answer here is you go two steps and you get right to that point. That you get to the point, first you say there was no report that you were the contagious principal, and then there's no evidence that you are a risk to the public. And that would trump, at least in statement, trump their position, and now they're sitting in a place where their risk management attorney or whomever's going to sit on that has to consider whether or not now they're on the wrong side. So that's how you get there really quickly. You have to know your position better. You know you're up against a bunch of ignorant people, but don't try to think that you're going to educate them. They want to be ignorant. Anyway, so that's, I guess, some things. See, I'm off my tabs, everything. I went to a whole different issue, but because I guess my email floods in and I see that there's things that are different, various things pop up, and I distill it all down. It's not really one thing that I see people having a little bit of trouble with. And the despair, partly is in me, too. I look around. I can't understand. And it just hit closer to me that some people who I know said that they weren't going to do the vaccine or the treatment, whatever the heck they're going to get, the jab, and they did. Why? For convenience. They want to go on a trip this summer. This summer. I mean, it's not even like they can roll this stuff out and maybe it goes away. They don't even have that anticipation. And so people are going to fall like flies. And hopefully, well, you can just get ready. Just get ready. I'm not sure. Maybe get some knowledge about how to... understand how to help them help you in letting them know about what's going on. I'm not quite sure how else to say that when they get into this vaccine stuff that they're going to have trouble. You're going to have to explain to them how they're going to help themselves. I'm not quite sure what to do more about that. So I think I have a problem starting up here. I'm going to have to stop for a second. And it looks like I've jammed up. I can have an audio check. Am I still getting out at all today? I'm going to have a serious problem, it looks like. I'm going to communicate with the. Okay, I think it might have, it might be Zoom. It might keep coming up again. I'm having an encoder problem all of a sudden. One encoder is not doing it, and I don't know which line it is, and I don't know, and that's going to be a serious, potentially a serious problem. Okay, I'm on the stream. Yeah, one of my encoders is down, and I don't know why, and I'm having trouble getting it stopped and then started. I need to check something here. Let me see quickly. Excuse me, folks. I'll be right there. I need to find out which thing is going and what's happening here. Cancel. Let me see. What's this one? This is one of the questions about. I have a few encoders that go out to different sources, and I'm trying to keep those going, and. I think most of the stream is out. I've lost one. I'm going to make sure my archive is up. Yeah, okay. I've been going to the recorder. So I've been on the recorder. I'm wasting time here. So I'm going to continue. I have to drop one of the streams, and we'll leave that one go. That might have been the Spreaker. So you can't hear me on Spreaker. I apologize. Maybe that's going to drop. Anyway, let me get back to this real quickly. Again, technicals. I knew, see, folks, there's a thing starts to happen. I've been watching my system fail, and I've been trying to look for an alternative that'll work with what, how my schedule, how I've got this thing scheduled up that works efficiently. So, getting back to this. So, we have had the opportunity to get to answer to this and make our records and then get ourselves refined despite the fact that we're going to watch our friends fall. And that's a hard thing to watch. This is partly, I look at the society, I see the society falling. It's a hard thing to watch. At some point, you just have to drop it. You just have to kind of go with those that are really going to step up and protect themselves. And you get a small group of people that are more taught, not just listeners, but those that will step up and start to learn. And there's a bit to learn. It's pretty amazing how much people grow in really looking back at this. But what we now have is, you know, looking at maybe the dark side of the darkness. It's there's a dark side to the darkness. It gets even darker. That's where this thing has planned to go. I don't have my psyche just doesn't wrap around it. I just know that it's going there. I don't get it, but it's there. And we've now seen this MOOF world order now envelop the world. And it looks like it's here to stay. And I mean, it's just, I don't know what to do. In the dismay and about how people are falling around it, it's hard to watch it. And so we got a third option. You know, I guess I'll ask a question. Are you sick with, from, or of COVID fraud? Because I'm sick of the general acceptance of COVID fraud. And I'm sure the PCR would indicate positive for of as well. It's a new thing now they're talking about. First it was, are you with it or from it? Did you get from it? Or now it's of. I'm sick of COVID fraud. And luckily, folks, being an asymptomatic isn't a communicable disease. But then again, I suppose we shouldn't give them any ideas. No, let me get into that. Why did I say that? It isn't a communicable disease because when you produce you're an asymptomatic, the communicable disease laws can't apply to you because that applies to people that are on a communicable disease list that they can show and determine and find the infectious agent that's never been done. So those of us that are asymptomatic can't be found to be in a communicable disease condition. So you see, can find real quickly how these officials are going to be completely authority. Well, they're already out of authority, but they have no way where to go. They have no way to what would it be called? When you get to the point when you're doing your habeas, they have absolutely nowhere to go when you produce the fact that you're not a health risk and you are healthy. And they're using that as a color of authority, which is those extortions and coercions under color of state law to take your right and your fundamental rights. So I'm right back to the point of it, right? So asymptomatics are not a communicable disease. That's what I've been showing you this whole time. The communicable disease statute, an asymptomatic is not on the communicable disease list. They have no jurisdiction over you, notwithstanding their promotion that somehow they do. And that promotion is coming from the foreigners. And a couple of you are seeing what I found out in Tennessee had done in the promulgation You're watching your legislatures actually adopt foreign influence as law. That's, they're putting that in stone, as I told you that they would, if you're not careful. Now, what do you do about all that? I don't really know. You just have to be there to just throw yourself at it. And that's why I said, it takes more people. But for everyone that talks about, you know, it's, oh, you can't do much, and so you're not, that's going to bring this on. There's just no way to, there's not enough of us that are doing something. I can only do so much. Others can only do so much. There are some protests out there that are going on, as I'm being told, around, that are starting to form up. I'm asking the people that are telling me that, let those people know what the basis of the foundation for why they're there. Don't get subject to the cops. Don't get beat down by the cops. Put them on notice before that even happens and start to do those other things that y'all have. And I'm going to take a jump, an assumption here, and I know we shouldn't assume, but that these rule of law branded countries are consistent in how what I'm saying is for the United States of America will work in all those rule of law branded companies. In other words, bar association controlled countries. You can use what I've been saying. You may have to adjust it just a bit, but the basic and the principles underneath it, underlying it, are fine. So here, we're in perpetually critical times due to a mental deficiencies of those saying so. Again, this is the idea, what are we here? The insane are ruling the asylum. I don't know where it went to the asylum, but that's who's gone the tiller of the ship of state. They're going to run us thing right up, run us right into an iceberg. And we're all going to let them. Because no one else wants to step up. So once they get the tiller and then they start yelling science, science, I just want to remind folks, you are not ruled by science in the first instance. And this is where we start to get the importance of what the hierarchy of when law rules and not men rule, or women. The officials are to be ruled by the law, and they can only use science if they gain the permission of the law to do so. So no official is in compliance with the law anywhere in the world at this time. Because being the governed, folks, the governed, you allow them, these organized criminals who are in trust breach, to continue to harm you. This is how that was set up. This is one of the traps in the Constitution and this idea of the rule of being ruled as the governed. That was a notice to us that most of us today never really picked up and understood. And so it's been transforming as we've been moving, and indeed raising at the same time of all this. Remember how this all started to work out right before, actually. At the same time of this new flag of war, what is this notice to you, the notice you embrace, not you, generally people embrace this, even through acquiesce and consent, inaction, where you just let it happen. The black flag with the blue stripe is notice to you all that there is no law, that the life's blood of the nation is drained, and the governed can expect the police to rule until you are black and blue, beaten and abused if you live. And look at the news. Look at how we've been talking behind the witch hit, how that was coming on. You know, I've talked about how to start to curtail it, and we got a new, when I ever get to the tab, there's a news report about how that's happening. So, you know, people call this place now with the war flag of the blue stripe on the black, the life of America that we thought drained of its life, zombified. You call this America, and I think that's pretty shameful. That we would even consider that. And then the other side of that is that we see that and we just give up. We don't protect even what we thought we had. And when I told you 20 minutes ago that a miner just lost his position because he didn't set his record right, I didn't say, and you have to understand this, the judge, supposedly, the magistrate who had no jurisdiction, this is in the same jurisdiction we showed, you know, in 2013 injunction, that they didn't, these are not Article III courts, other than the two that I talked to you about. Some of you did the study. That this magistrate judge, no less, ruled that the miner has no property. Completely at odds with the mining law, where you have exclusive possession. If you don't have property, then you have exclusive possession granted to you of what? the judge, so-called, didn't say. But if they can come after the minor that way, they're coming after you. Those of you that have property or think you have property, however you hold it, whatever your understandings are of it, the fact that the mining district, you think we don't talk about, I don't talk about some of this stuff, or I talk about it here and don't talk about it there. We talked about taxation, ad valorem, past patent rights, what the county should be able to do and what it doesn't do, what it does do in violation. We talked about all of this as a subject matter came up, and it was relative to this position with the mine. That if they come after, they can come after the miner and say they have no property, you don't have any property. That was a reflexive condition that was not in law. And until we get the mass of people understanding this, which looks bleak to me, I don't understand how anybody's going to get this. But I get it. A group of guys I work with get it. Whether they fully can articulate it, that's another question, but they understand this position, this condition. And they see how the violation happens. They know to look for the violation, too. It's actually probably most important. They are coming, they're actually implementing now what I told you was happening, and there would be no property rights recognized any further. And when you have no property rights, they don't have to give you due process. And I don't think people appreciate that at all. That came to me, my mind here years ago, dealing in administrative thing. I said, you know, when they take away the property right, they only have to give the administration that they have to give. And that has nothing to do with, where there's no property, there's nothing to protect for takings. And so we're here, folks. We're at that time. They've drained the life's blood out of the flag. It's now a blue stripe, the color black and blue. That's what's going to be all over you if you survive. Abused, governed people. Now, what are these war criminals? I mean, I don't know what else to call them, who these people are. I think we've come to the time when our language will have to can be constrained to what this has always been, the demonic tyrants, to be redundant. I don't know else to explain here. And if we're not going to rise up against that, I don't know what the answer, what other thing that we can say. Anyways, moving, I can move on. Something that isn't redundant, in fact, it hasn't been observed before. Now we get over to the tabs finally. Interesting stuff that's going on. I saw this article and I let it go. I was interested in it because it talked about wildfire research. And, you know, we've been integrated with the stopping making local ordinances that change public policy land use plans in order to stop local wildfires that were not natural and were underneath the policy as being adequate. We were able to advance to some powers, some commissioners in the local county to stop that. And so for 2 years, we had no more smoke in the summer. Based on, again, policies that they use for the university system type thing, wilding the landscape, so to speak. And it's just nothing but another organized crime. We figured it out. We got the legislation, local county legislation. We got some public land use agreements adjusted under the policy of the federal government for wildfire management. And I went through all that. I explained everything to you. So this is it's a threat to us every year. So, you know, we live in that area in a way, in a place that the fire is it doesn't care. It doesn't discriminate. It'll burn everybody out. And it's a dangerous thing. And, I'm always interested in wildfire information, and wildfire research is another key thing that we had to go through. This story popped up and I just put it back aside because it really wasn't anything that we could work with until I noticed something this weekend that I hadn't really ever seen before. The California only wildfire research center makes a scary discovery. And, okay, I guess we can make the headline scary. This is very concerning, though, I'll tell you. Regardless of the scary, this becomes more of that future problematic thing of a condition that may be going on, ongoing, that's kind of invisible. But this is, I was pleased that they don't ever mention climate change or global warming or anything as the cause. They just make the observation. And that was science. That was science. And there's people that, the scientists that go out on us here on this is the second day of April. Skies were clear over San Francisco Bay Area and the view from the top of a sun-drenched Mount Umanum in the South Bay spread across a sea of green shrubs and trees carpeting the surrounding Santa Cruz Mountains. It was a beautiful sight, but the team's researcher from San Jose State University's Wildfire Interdisciplinary Research Center, the only wildfire research center in California, noticed something wasn't quite right. I was shocked when we went up through there because usually in April we have a lot of new growth and old growth and we didn't see any new growth on the shrubs, says Greg Clements of the SJSU, professor and director of the center. We weren't seeing any of the lighter-colored, bright-green new growth sprouting out of the growth. Usually we take clippings of the new stems, and there weren't any. This has never happened. We can't be redundant here, folks. This is nature at its finest, telling us new stuff. Clement shared an image above the I guess you get it when you get the link that's above. From the expedition on Twitter, he wrote, the lack of rain this season has severely impacted our chaparral-like fuel moistures. Wow, never seen April fuels look so dry. New growth, no new growth anywhere in Cummins, and April is climatologically the highest live FMC of the season. Very scary. FMC is the fuel moisture content. And I would have to say, April showers bring May flowers. And I've been looking at this month, and it's saying that we don't have those. I'm wondering what's going to happen to our May flowers. Well, something else I observed. While this came out last month, this story, roughly, they're measuring over time the lowest moisture contents ever. It used to be like 115 was lowest. Now it's 97. This has been happening over time. This is worse than any drought that they've recorded. What I noticed this weekend, which is a corollary, and I noticed the no new growth this year on some trees yet. It's still waiting to come out. And I noticed it on my blueberries. Hardly anything's coming out this year, even though those are hand-watered things. There's also something else I noticed this weekend. The humidity level was at a place I've never seen before. It was a single digit, the humidity level. Now, I looked at that and I said, well, if this is what's been going on over climatologically, our humidity levels have dropped underneath the radar. This has slowly been drying the plants out, and it's been drying the ground. And what caught my mind was really how dry the ground is already dusty this year. We don't usually see that until about June or so, getting into July. The ground has no moisture in it. And so I started looking around again. I said, well, just thinking about out in my mind, where would that kind of dry air come from? And it can't come from the ocean, but it's going to have to come over a long-range landmass travel that came from a very cold source. And sure enough, I got under the wind maps and I looked, and this air that's been coming down, it's coming out of Canada. The entire landmass is moving air down into the United States. In fact, it's colder in the center of the United States at some places where this must be pooling than it is in Canada. So the cold, dry air is coming from Kanukistan. And so I want one of you guys up there has your beer fridge open. Can you please shut it? You're causing, some scientists are really seriously concerned about this, guys. So someone's left their beer fridge open, and it's draining cold, dry air into North America. And this is a pretty interesting condition, and it's been doing it for a long time. I was wondering earlier on in fall, where was the humidity? It wasn't really that low, but it was still lower, a couple of percentage. What's the point about that? Well, nature wants to equalize everything. Like if you have a body of water that's saltier than a fresh water, the salt will migrate. It wants to balance. You got drier air, wetter air, and drier. The wet will go to the dry. There wants to be balance in nature, and so somehow, somewhere, someplace, there's humidity like crazy. But over North America, for over a year, it's been drying out. Here's the point about all this, folks. Anybody in the West, this has been happening, because this is over the whole continent. It looks like you really are looking into a serious fire year. So you want to be looking around your properties. If it's nobody else, you can't get anybody else to do it right, you do it yourself. Clean up your places with the brush and the shrubbery and keep ahead of this thing. There's actual things going on. They were claiming that, I think the Almanac said it was going to be a little bit more wet summer for the West. I hope that's the truth, because we haven't had the April showers. But they also said I don't want to broach the idea and start talking about it to condemn it. They said if climate change, they said global warming caused more rain. We're not getting that either. And so we have a very big concern. It seems to happen. In fact, I've been cleaning stuff up even more than I normally do with the brush, the underlevel, undercut, understory, that stuff, just to clean it out just a little bit. We have been watching cold air, dry air come over us. It's just broke about into refrigerator temperatures. But we're having it seems a general and universal drying action happening over the continent. So just an interest, I guess, happened to notice. I've never seen single digit humidity levels. And that was at night. Normally they go up at night. And so it indicated, like I said, someone up in the Kanukistan has their beer fridge open and we're getting all that dry, cold air. Can you please close that door? Another thing that's kind of cool, as I told you before, we talked about this blue wall, blue stripe that's drained the life out of the United States, and we're going to now fly that war flag, that black and blue, that you're going to be here. Way we anticipated to stop it was you involve yourself locally to get legislation, either legislation or policy, to stop the immunities, to stop, make cops make a more definite line, make a more definite a liability that's been given to them by the Bar Association through various immunities. And people, again, those same people that get COVID and the MOOF world order is there in your juries to give the cops carte blanche anyway. So this is another problem. But I've suggested years ago to involve yourself where you have cops that are really not so cool. You're going to have to get ahead of the game. And I learned a little bit about that when I first got involved with this years and years and years ago, like early 90s, and the cops tried to, they set me up on a traffic stop that was wrong, all set up. It was all completely wrong, and I didn't know if I was going to survive that stop. The five cops with guns pointed at me. I'm doing nothing. They're making it up. And so, this is where I start. In that time, the cops were all over. Every time I come into the city to get supplies, they'd be all over me. And so I went on a writing campaign because I had to do my writing and my legal stuff anyway for the court case that I was having to defend myself. Probably the first time in earnest. And I started writing letters to the chief of the police. And what I did, I learned real quickly, is that you do that and you set up the record that they're setting up against you. And it starts to look really bad for them if things start to happen to you. So I use that as a tactic. That was one way to address it. And eventually I got them to back off. When I came into town, I'd never see them. They would tail me. They would do all kinds of stuff. So I learned that you can address this. And anybody that's living in a town that has cops and things that are getting aggressive, you can start to address it. Yes, it took about 6 months, but it was a methodical, focused writing campaign. And they give you the stupid answers, and you gotta catch those up, and you put them aside, and you go after what they're supposed to do. You can change policy. And I look over really quickly. Grimner says he had snow overnight. That's over there in New Mexico, and right where we're talking. Santa Fe, New Mexico does something, folks. Blue wall crumbling as second state ends qualified immunity for bad cops. This is what people have to start doing as the blue line becomes prominent in the zombified United States across the nation. I know people are going to shrug their shoulders. What am I going to do? If you don't, you may become one of the ones that are black and blued if you survive. But you can do something about it. Here's the proof. Years later, after I've suggested that we were going to have to focus somewhere, it went up from policy into law in an unprecedented move. It was reported last month the New York City Council passed sweeping legislation to go after, this is reported through Santa Fe, New Mexico, sweeping legislation to go after bad cops by removing qualified immunity, ushering in a new era for police accountability. I find this terrifying. It's a new era. This shouldn't have been an era. This should have just been people and police being reasonable, but they can't. That should be another clue where we live under. But moving on here, just reading. Removing the qualified immunity, ushering in a new era of police accountability. This move was revolutionary, as they were the first major area to make such drastic change until now. Going after bad cops is now gaining momentum, and this month. So here's folks, this is the notice. It's gaining momentum. Where? I'm not sure. In New Mexico, it picks up from the first. Now New Mexico, it can spread out. What it takes is people stepping in and saying, I'm going to adopt these models and I'm just going to start to assert them everywhere. And I would say don't stop at the cops, but that's going to be a different look. This one's easy because the people die around this, not so much with the Bar Association. Going after bad cops is now gaining momentum, and this month New Mexico became the second state in the country to abolish qualified immunity. So you see how this place is wired. Unless it's in the law, they can beat you up. They can do this stuff. And I told you long time ago the way it looked. I'm not liking that this is the way it is. This is just the way it is. If you see a wrong, and you need to have somebody legislate that out, because they have taken the position that you're an occupied people. Your civil rights are every black and blue they can put on you that you can't avoid because of a status that you don't do, and then they don't care about that anyway with their qualified immunity. So you have to remove their liability. This is all about the bottom dollar. Who pays for this? Not the cops. It ends up being the taxpayer. You see how the leverage funding works to undermine the republic, if you will, right here. But, enough here. You can read the article. It's taking people, legislating away the protections the judiciary gave to the executive. And again, I've said this is what's going to have to happen. It's starting to happen. This has to happen now across the board. I don't know why you have to do it, but it's what has to be done. This shouldn't have been a revolution that the cops were obeying the law, but the Bar Association and MOOF World Order, which was before the mask was on juries, moved minds, I suppose, were allowing this and have been allowing it. And so, I just got another word from Law Stream. It should be hooking back up again. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on today. Anyway, I can just focus on what I'm doing here and not lose the feed. Going back, so this is evidence of what I was suggesting was to happen. You're going to have to look with a fine-tooth comb over everything that's allowed to the officials that gives them the license to not do things and violate you. And even though the law says so, again, as I said, the law is not enough anymore. Now, I want to move into what I was talking about relative to the law is not enough and what laws have to happen. And I was moving into this very thing where the legislature has to say what is good and what is bad. They're the representatives of the people as well. Some states actually have a fork in the road. The legislature, or there's actually a couple forks in the road. The legislature can make laws, and then some states allow that the people can alter that. When they declare an emergency, that accelerates the time of implementation, and it typically compresses the time when you can respond. In other words, there is a mechanism for people, if they would step up, when a law is made that's not good, you can step up referendum to stop what these legislature underneath the color of helping the people, representing the people, have done. Now, it takes a lot of work. It takes an organized people. This is what I'm saying about being an organized people. The people who understand this, we're not even close to that. Like I said, Virginia and the sanctuary county nonsense thing, but going after the Second Amendment through the Constitution and the breach of maladministration was the more direct route. They had the numbers. They had what we're talking about. And so, the Justice Thomas I talked about last week, it was important. I'm going to go back a little bit to this because of what was being indicated by Justice Thomas. We had a report that says Clarence Thomas slams tech monopolies, says they do not have right to restrict free speech. Well, he says that, but they do, otherwise he wouldn't be talking. He talked in an order that was issued in a case that was disposed of purely summarily that we started to talk about last week, where he added a concurrence to the agreement that the case against Trump should be mooted because Trump's not in office anymore, relative to the Twitter thing and the legislation that needed the private power of these communication platforms. And Justice Thomas went through to delineate, I think it's a telegraph to the industry, but also to other people. And he gave instruction, which I think is important, because people will denounce this. They'll say, well, what's the Supreme Court, this, that, and the other. The point is, this is the way these cops that have gotten this immunity have listened to the Supreme Court. You got to understand what that language is and what it's telling us, and how, when you understand what they are to do, and that the government itself, the officials within the government, pay attention to the Supreme Court, you know where to drop in when you're trying to undermine what garbage, what criminality they've allowed. Justice Thomas gives a couple of fine points about when you're making complaints or the elements you need to establish had not been and have not been established in this case that he's concurring with the outcome, which was to moot the case. Because it's the case is mooted, set the order. If you read some of these discussions, you'll see justices are explaining that the attorneys, the parties, never brought a claim relative to what they were expecting to do. To me, that's a notice that I have to be more vigilant that when I'm setting up my record, typically it's the administrative side, I want to make sure I establish these things that maybe no one else is doing. In other words, when you look into a court case, you may not see what the attorneys have failed to do what they should have done, and it's not the proper precedent for you. It's not the proper example. You have, again, and this is where people have a hard time with this. When you reanalyze what's going on, the judges will say, well, I didn't see this, I didn't see this, and I didn't see that, so we couldn't answer that. That when you see that list of things, and we'll maybe talk about it here when I get to the notes quickly in a moment, when we see that, I've been able to take those and say, wow, that's been a universal failure. Same thing as agreeing to Covey fraud. No court case, except one in the country in Tennessee, no court case has said that Covey fraud was the fraud. It didn't exist, not because it doesn't exist, but because they haven't proved it does exist. And that was the duty. But they agree that the Covey fraud is real. And it just irks me when I hear that. But anyway, that's how they do this. So there was never, the courts would come in the future, a la Clarence Thomas in the future, you never brought me that fraud case so that I could decide on. Or we could choose, we could look to see if we could decide it. And so this case, for me, wasn't so much that he's slamming tech monopolies, which might need to be slammed. He's kind of weighing in on how the tech monopolies, which shouldn't be able to do this, are. They're protected. And we hear in his writing, what didn't come to the Supreme Court that they couldn't decide on that instructs me to make sure if you're going to do something locally, no matter what it is, it has nothing to do with slams tech monopolies or tech monopolies. It has to do with you having a problem locally that someone's trying to run you down, and I've been trying to explain to you how you decipher what's in the world and that thing, that system utilizes to do that, that you can neutralize it. If not, go the other way and actually show the harm that wasn't supposed to be done. This discussion in this paper, it's not that long. It's just a concurrence on a raft of decisions that the Supreme Court made. You can get this link here in a moment. But I want to go through, and I'm just going to talk a couple of points. I started last week on page 9, where they talk about the judgment is vacated. I don't want to have to talk about that again. It was just at the end of the broadcast, and I almost ran out of time for it to even get that much out. But I wanted to at least broach it to you. Maybe people will go to the link and start to read and start to understand what we can glean from some of this. Donald Trump, then President Thomas, is writing in the concurrence of this decision. President of the United States blocked several users from interacting with his Twitter account. They sued. Okay, so you got to put your mind to what I'm saying, what I'm reading. He's discussing a condition. Lay the players out how they were doing, because he speaks to those players. And I'm anticipating to you that he says, you didn't bring me the case that you were citing. In fact, you didn't bring really the case that we could do that at all. Our notice is, you got to bring your case properly, like I've been telling you. We got to figure out what that is. It doesn't mean to the Supreme Court, I'm saying. You look at the Supreme Court, it's how they're going to handle it. If you're speaking like that when you start in your record, likelihood someone's going to take notice on the way through and they're going to say, we can't prevail on this. Or they decide they're going to fight you, and then you're also now going to make, you will come with the proper discussion. And we would just hope that it's going to go in the proper way. I don't know what else to say about that question. But doing nothing's not going to stop any of this. And even when you do it, and you do it the wrong way, it's not going to stop anything. We heard that they can make legislation here to stop the immunity. Our problem as a people to start working toward that? Those kinds of things has been a wonder to me for a couple of decades now, actually. But moving on, reading on this, the Second Circuit held that the comment threads were a, quote, public forum. and that the President Trump violated the First Amendment by using his control of the Twitter accounts to block the plaintiffs from accessing the comment threads, the citation of a court case. But Mr. Trump, it turned out, had only limited control of the account. Twitter has permanently removed the account from the platform. Because of the change in the presidential administration, the court correctly vacates the second court's decision. Another citation. Page 2. I write separately to note that this petition highlights the principal legal difficulty that surrounds digital platforms. Namely, that applying old doctrines to new digital platforms is rarely straightforward. And so now we see the murkiness, but keep track of this. It's up to you now to make, if you were to approach this, are you going to make a challenge to against these tech companies? Your challenges are going to be along the lines that allows you to filter that murkiness and make clear the position that they now know they're vulnerable to. And so this is, hold on, folks. I have another error. I don't know what's going on here today. And it locks up everything as well. So I'll keep going. I hope it hasn't locked the whole system up. I don't know, folks. I should be coming back on. I'm having encoder problems today. Don't know why. The first time in a long time I've ever had trouble with this. But anyway, moving on. I don't know what I got out before the encoder stopped. When he writes separately, he talks about the old doctrines and new digital platforms. And so he's saying there's a murkiness. There's a murkiness that I'm saying, if you know that, you are going to have to clear up if you go after these platforms. For those of you that may consider it, I don't know who's out there that might. This is showing a potential pathway. And I wouldn't say just rely on this one, but you will, if you haven't developed this, he says it. You didn't develop it. We can't hear it. Makes sense, right? So it's rarely straightforward. So you're going to have to straighten the path on how this all works. Otherwise, it's going to be murky and they're not going to allow it. Page 18 I go to, just hitting here through the discussion, the similarities between some digital platforms and common carriers or places of public accommodation may give legislators strong arguments for similarly regulating digital platforms. Quote, it stands to reason that if Congress may demand that telephone companies operate as common carriers, it can ask the same of digital platforms. Now, what's he saying there? He's saying just what I was telling you before. You have to get your local commissioners or your council, the legislators of the state of the policy, even if it's in policy consideration as we did in the wildfire and changing a public land use agreement with the federal government between the county. You have to get the legislative side laid down before they get to act. And if it's not, you're likely not going to make it work. But he says you can make it work. And this is where I start saying, okay, we have a lot of work here, and I don't like to do it. I don't like suggesting it. But it looks like it needs to be done. He does talk about public accommodation. That's what Covey fraud now provides for negotiation. It's all kind of coming together in a way. It says Congress can make the definition. They can give you immunity, or they can take it away by the legislation. And he's saying that he still doesn't have power here, which I found fascinating. It's not in the cards quite yet. It's not in the cards that even the Supreme Court can do it. If legislators would have now this reasoning to bring forward to support legislation, is notice to you, maybe that's what we want to do relative to all this censorship on the Internet and freeing up the Internet from censorship. Moving, as I've talked about, moving the condition of the company that runs on the Internet into a more public nature. It doesn't quite talk about what I've been saying. They've been using the public right-of-way, which should bring them into subject status because of that alone. They're on the privilege of the public. Now they are eliminating the public. He doesn't speak about. I would say add that on top of what he'd say. And so just as a thought, again, we're just looking at this for clues as to what's going on. He's saying the legislature's empowered here. And here is some reasoning. Well, you could take that and you could start adding that, advancing that in your state. Remember, they also, these people are also doing the public, when I say they are utilizing the public right-of-way, maybe your local counties have something to do to ban companies that do any censorship, but do it at the provider standpoint. I don't know. These are all us. Some, we have to look at the problem and solve it, because for the most part, it won't be solved on its own. We moved into, he's talking about now bringing common carrier application to the digital platforms because of the what they do. And that can be declared legislated by the legislator. In this case, Congress for the Fed. It'll be your state law for your state legislatures. Page 13, he goes on to say, in exchange, and here's how the system works, folks. This is the give and take of all this. It's not so one-sided, right, wrong. It's compromise, no matter what, seems. But it's done on the exaction principle as well. And you just, as an entity, if you don't avoid that, you are brought into having to make these decisions of whether you want to do this or not. And if you don't, you get on the outs. But here's how the system works. He's saying, in exchange for regulating transportation and communication industries, governments, both state and federal, have sometimes given common carriers special government favors. Now, you understand, it didn't say about giving the people these favors. These are not just general people favors. No, this is special industry, special entity things, special subject matter areas. That's the person. The person is this placeholder for the entity subject to that part of the code. So don't get all, everyone gets freaked out about this person. You may not want it attached to you, but if they're talking about the term person in the context of a patent, because they're dealing with the person with the patent in a generality because they can't deal with it specifically, I wouldn't get too freaked out. You're just going to call yourself that grantee with the evidence, ultimate evidence of your property right. But moving to this, so there's a trade-off between what the industries are going to do and how they're going to be treated when the government will give trade-offs for how they're going to manage this thing that develops in private. But deals in the public, but not mean public government, but public as the population deals with that. So you see how this place works. There's always this compromise going on. You have to make considerations for that. Now, page 18, I move on. Zoom, not a physical place, can be an open meetings place. Zoom, that e-government nonsense that you're not resisting so much. Some people are, not enough. That it isn't a physical place, found an interesting statement in the Supreme Court's justice's description of that. It's not a physical place. Well, your courts are supposed to be physical and open. Maybe the little note about the fact that it's not a physical place where if you're going to do a challenge might help. I don't know, but at least sets the record now to make it so, right? Can't be an open meetings place. Can't be an open meeting place. Zoom is not a physical place. Can't be an open meetings place. Now he refers to the ADA. Covers only physical places. Now he's showing how murky it gets. But guess what he just said there? Zoom is not a physical place and can't be an open meetings. If your courts are supposed to be open, if your community meetings are supposed to be open, he just said that as a Supreme Court justice, that's not an open meeting. By definition, they've breached what they're supposed to do over the open meeting provisions. So, I found fascination in that one. This has been one of my main irks when COVID fraud hit and all the counties decided they were going to go to Zoom e-government. I said, that's not right. This justice just said so. I would incorporate that with anything I have to say. I would actually recite to this concurring opinion in dismissing a case for being moot. If you understand what I'm saying about how you look at what you're looking at in order to glean what you need as authorities outside of you, because the government doesn't care about you. You got to concern them with the people they may have to be concerned with in the future. Page 19, I move. For example, although a, quote, private entity is not ordinarily constrained by the First Amendment, it is if the government coerces or induces it to take action the government itself would not be permitted to do, such as censor expression of a lawful viewpoint. More clues how this actually would be implemented. If you can frame the discussion where this element applies, you can then form the basis to move that they ought to be constrained by the First Amendment. Or from it. I mean, from interfering with it. You have to rethink how that would apply, and you put your condition in this context. You frame it that way. It's just words. It's you thinking about it, and you applying to the point of it, and you frame it that way, and then you hold on, because they're going to try and they'll do whatever they can and make sure that they don't have that, because they know if it goes up that way and it's been denied all along, they very well might get thrown out in the end, for those of you that hang on long enough. Or, as importantly, for as much as I'll denounce lawyers, they're not all bad. I mean, not everyone. It's not 100%. Most of them are. But most of them are just as unaware as most other people as well. You just might be the one that runs across that attorney that will take this and could do it. I don't know that guy. I don't know that gal. But you might. And you would present this very clearly in a point-by-point, very simple condition that they might actually engage. They might find merit in it. They might want to see that they can make it to the Supreme Court and make something of themselves. You give them the project. But you've refined it for these things, and you've presented, made a record that is, if hopefully, unassailable and could prevail. And they see, anybody could see that. I ask you to do that for yourself. Make your record so clear that it just cannot be questioned. They might still question it, but they have a really big doubt in their mind. Consider government threats, as we talk about coercion of the government. People don't lightly disregard public officers' thinly veiled threats to institute criminal proceedings against them if they do not come around. Boy, isn't that speaking to Coby fraud a bit? The government cannot accomplish through threats of adverse government action what the Constitution prohibits it from doing directly. Boy, haven't we been using a little bit of that? Justice is citing this again. When it's in the Constitution, they can't act contrary to that. That they are brings them into trust breach and the felonies and the crimes. And so we have a concurrence and we have a reconfirmation of there is some authorities that a justice would look at. And the thing isn't that you're going to get it local, is that someone like an attorney looks at it and says, yeah, that's going to be something we can't beat. And they might treat you differently because you're stepping up and succinctly bringing these points forward. Not just harebrained opinions, you know, you substantiate it where you find it in the authorities they are subject to. Not you, them. That they're talking to you is the crime, actually, if you're not under in a status. Or they've wrongly framed a status and brought you in. And hopefully if you can see that they did it wrong, that's how you make your record, to recorrect the record to show they did it wrongly. In fact, I was just talking to someone about taxes, which I don't do too much, but I was talking about IRS tax stuff, not state here, which it's all IRS ultimately. They all refer to those rules and regulations, and the status was wrongly interpreted. And I said, well, you had to go through your pathway in order to show that on the record. Don't move before you do that. Once you've established they did it wrongly, now you start to move better. And so it takes a little bit of reframing the condition by an authority. Under this doctrine, plaintiffs might have a colorable claim. This is the adverse government action the Constitution prohibits it from doing it. Under this doctrine, the plaintiffs might have a colorable claims against the digital platform. So now he's telling you, if you can bring this these elements into this relative to these conditions underneath this provision and apply it to a tech monopoly communication system, you would have a colorable claim against the platform. If they go on to take, if it took adverse action against them in response to government threats. That's a little bit of obscurity. The point is, if you can take these elements and put them together factually, you will have a stronger chance of convincing a local attorney who's dealing with the company directly. Like we've heard for the Coby fraud, where you deal with the risk management facilities manager. That is what we're talking about here. You deal with it then, not at the Supreme Court. You don't set this up like you're going to the Supreme Court. You set this up so you don't have to go to the Supreme Court. So if you can put these elements together, you can start to make this argument that he is saying this is what he would have been interested to watch. But he goes on to tell us that. He goes, he sets up these things and says, here's the elements that would have brought a claim that we, colorable claim nonetheless, that we could have looked at. But then he says this, and I've seen this in so many court decisions. He says, but no threat is alleged here. How many court cases have I heard where the plaintiff or whoever, the petitioner, the relator, whoever it is, do not allege the threat, do not allege the elements to make the validity of the threat. They just claim this generic, generically applied thing that the courts cannot deal with. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that at the local level. We don't want to start that at the beginning when we write our first letter. We want to, with all the facts and elements set up, that it may be worse than a threat. Because he's saying that when a government official does that, you don't take it lightly, and people don't. And they acknowledge that you're not supposed to take it lightly. But if you don't then allege the threat, and that's how you do that is by listing the factual elements for it, not just to say there's a threat. He says, but in this case, no threat was alleged. What threats would cause a private choice by a digital platform to be deemed that of a state remains unclear. Again, the plaintiff did not clear the murkiness that he sees as a problem because of old meeting new and old slow, you know, systemic meeting new that's moving at the speed of electrons. And so there's there's an acknowledged disconnect somehow. He's explaining how you would try to pull that together. I'm offering, you look at what he's saying here, you can apply that across the board to any problem. He's telling you that these attorneys need to be more succinct and to bring the more proper claim. And they aren't. Goes on, threats directed at digital platforms can be especially problematic in light of 47 U.S.C. 230, which some courts have misconstrued to give digital platforms immunity for bad faith removal of third-party content. Malwarebytes was involved in that one, Enigma Software Group. Statement respecting denial of certiorari, this immunity eliminates the biggest deterrent, a private lawsuit, against caving to an unconstitutional government threat. And so, misconstrued, he's not liking that these lower courts are doing it, but no one's given him the ability through a proper complaint built by the proper elements to be able to look at this. And so this is, in a way, you're looking at him being critical of the legal profession. Now, for similar reasons, some commentators have suggested that immunity provisions like Section 230 could potentially violate the First Amendment. Remember, this could potentially, that's a big, big question. You'd have to really look at that, but could potentially violate the First Amendment to the extent those provisions preempt state laws that protect speech from private censorship. He's almost telling you that you should go to your legislature and make a law that, like the laws, the two laws in the two jurisdictions that remove immunity, you need to make and protect speech from private censorship. It needs to be a law. If it's not, if the executive has not made it a law, the courts cannot look at it, even though some courts will misconstrue. How many times have I looked at that problem? And you just have to know that's part of the reality. And I don't know what more to say until you get case-by-case basis, you attempt to anticipate that, you load the record so that when they do it, you call it out. That's all I can know to do at this point. Hopefully you do that administratively, it never gets there. According to that argument, that there would be legislation protecting it, which means you have some work to do locally. But remember, this is federal commerce stuff, so don't forget that distinction. According to that argument, when a state creates a private right and a federal statute preemption preempts the state law, let me reread that. According to that argument, when a state creates a private right and a federal statute preempts that state law, the federal statute is the source of the power, authority, and by which any private rights are lost or sacrificed. Like, if you didn't think you could lose those things, here it is. And so this is where you start saying they can only do it where they can do it. The regulation, this happens to be a railroad employees action, is not something of your granted land rights either. So they can only do that where they can, but federal law trumps a lot of this if you're in the wrong subject matter. And so you have to look at that and you have to see how that would go through with the elements and tying together what he's saying here to get it. If you're really wanting to stop censorship and this monopoly that's been built up around us, someone's going to have to figure this out and take it forward. More than one, hopefully. It goes on to page 20, and you'll use these elements and others. As I was reading through this, other things started coming to mind. It's not a lot. I mean, it's not like endless, but there are other avenues that you would present, create a record for, and then move forward, not allowing them to, what can I say, they take it away from you. They try to do that all the time. It's just part of the battle. You literally are in a war, and you're in a war in the courts, and you're in a war in administrative. It's all war. It's not peace. This is the thing. People get fed up with it. I get that, but we're in a war. So figure that out. You're really in a war, whether or not you're engaged or not. And if you're not fighting the battle, you're just part of the occupied people. And I don't mean fight in the physical. That's got to be our last option. We really have to get our mind, our spirit up into where it needs to be, and then maybe we'll see better that we maybe didn't need to do some of these things. But we did need to do what we did need to do, and that eliminated some of this. Because what I feel, and I've seen this happen, when enough people come into a spot and they start doing it right, no official wants to be caught on the wrong side of it. That's where they back off. But like I said, not enough people do that. Going to page 20, the Second Circuit feared that President Trump cut off speech by using features that Twitter made available to him, but if that aim is to ensure that the speech is not smothered, then the more glaring concern must perforce be the dominant digital platforms themselves. As Twitter made clear, the right to cut off speech lies most powerfully in the hands of private digital platforms. The extent to which that power matters for the purpose of the First Amendment and to the extent to which that power could lawfully be modified raises interesting and important questions. Again, no actually absolute path, but interesting and important questions means if you have a question that needs to be resolved, they're more apt to take it at the Supreme Court level. My thought is if you put it in the beginning, someone may be more apt to avoid trying to make it a question for the Supreme Court. And in a way here, the attorneys can actually help if they would actually help. You get somehow, places wired, an Esquire shows up, and all of a sudden people get a little more honest. And I don't know why. That's the way it happens. I don't know what to say. So as Twitter made clear, the right to cut off speech lies most powerfully in the hands of private digital platforms. To the extent to which the power matters for the First Amendment, and to the extent to which the power lawfully be modified, raises an interesting, important question. This petition, unfortunately, affords us no opportunity to confront them. This is where he's telling the lawyers, you didn't do it. You came all this way, and you never gave us something to sink our teeth in. Two. The petition, unfortunately, affords us no opportunity to confront them. I've seen so many people write this type of failed condition. They give no opportunity to the court to do it, even if looking past the corruption, that the court just can't handle. There's nothing handed to them in the complaint to deal with. And so I look at this as another, for as obscure almost as it seems, this is another, was a list of object lessons. If we want to go after censorship, there's at least one justice that sees the pathway. It's kind of close to what I was saying about the public right-of-way. He's saying Congress can legislate with some authority to pull these people in. In the absence of it, we might still be able to put them in the perspective, frame them as a common carrier of the information. Now, I'm not an expert in all that. For anybody that's truly interested to try and free up this thing, there's an option. Somebody, one of my listeners or a handful might be interested. Because if we don't, we're going into the time when this digital theater, the war theater, is being used against us. And I'll move over now. I might get to some of the tabs before the tabs. Anyway, Justice Thomas, I think, gave us a little bit of insight. It's an ongoing problem I see with people in writing complaints. And I don't mean just court complaints. I'm talking about your letters to a local official who are trying to come against you. The cops that jump on you that you don't write your letters to the chief like I told you I started to do. And don't expect an immediate response or an immediate action. It may take some time. For me, it was 6 months. Okay, so I mean, this does not happen. That you have people in your own society attacking you is a problem, is your problem. We shouldn't even be there. And so, again, you just use whatever the tools are available that will work. And you have to, it's up to you. You're going to have to make sure that you don't do something like what I see Thomas talking to us about. You gave us nothing to decide these things, attorneys. Is why my main complaint about these attorneys. Again, look across the Covey fraud. Not one will challenge that it doesn't exist. Not by challenging it doesn't exist, by challenging that the government has not fulfilled its obligation to demonstrate what the communicable disease statute requires. And so, no attorney yet has offered that. Every judge has agreed that it's a threat. You see that over and over. This justice is saying, you're not bringing us the complaints that we need. And so they find on the record, the all-important record, however that would be, because we're moving again, the theater, the cyber theater of war, that's not Orwellian, this is Orwellian. Aussie's mulling ID for access to Facebook, Twitter, and Tinder. If you think it ends with Covey fraud and you're locking down. The Australian government is mulling a proposal which would require citizens to provide at least two forms of identification if they want to use social media under the guise of battling online bullying and more easily reports easily. Vince, they said it right there in the article. Report users to authorities. So this is all about surveillance and reporting, right? And we get into cancel culture like the stalkers that some of you syndicators to YouTube, Sound Minds, possibly a normalization of ignorance. Haven't seen Walrus post lately. I don't, the broadcast, I don't know what happened to Walrus. Other people that are out there that I don't know. You have stalkers, and this is how simple cancel culture works. You will just be reported. They're going to have identification. A digital cyber theater, they know exactly right where you are and how you be. And they can go and collect you up whatever they want. And again, this digital cryptocurrency world is coming up around us. And Australia was one of the worst so far with this Covey fraud nonsense, which is all going to be tied to what your green pass and all this other thing, green passport. Okay, so what have I been saying? We have to look for a truly ghost in the machine access. It's not going to be a popular access. As soon as you avoid all this popular media and you can get inside the system, the ghost in the machine part of the system, that deep web, if you will, we will be able to do a lot more. We will just be ghosts in the machine. We will have to have a better knowledge of the system. I think inside there we could have our own cryptocurrency type thing where you can exchange value. I don't know how that gets out into the real world again because this whole thing's being locked down by the financial powers in the world. As I said they would. I mean, this is just writing on the wall. This is moving, the cyber theater is moving into constriction, and there are, because of the nature of digital, there's a whole vast ice, the tip of the iceberg that you see is social media. There's a vast iceberg you don't see called the deep web, which has addresses that you can ping, jump around from point to point, as I understand it very minimally, that we have the ability to start using. Once you can do that, you don't need to worry about getting on these major conglomerates, which are the hubs of surveillance and control. Moving on now, moving into Covey fraud. Questions, which is kind of interesting to me. How could a Covey fraud vaccine cause blood clots? This article, I don't even want to read the article more. Some of these articles I really don't want you to read, except you need to see what's being said. The people that are just apologists to this organized criminal pharmaceutical condition, the governments actually, we'll find out, are actually contracting to have this happen against you. How could Covid fraud vaccine cause blood clots was a story that came out, interestingly, at the time they were promoting J&J, as if to try and say, well, how could it happen? They actually explain some things to you, how it actually can happen. They explain that this could happen, though it's so rare, folks. It's so rare. There's so much trying to get you in that it won't affect you because it's so rare. That you might actually buy in, that you could never be affected by it. But at the same time, they're promoting Johnson & Johnson, they were saying, how could a vaccine cause blood clots? This is a question about showing you how rare it is so that you would still buy into getting a jab that could give you blood clots in places you've never, ever had blood clots before and in age groups that have never been happened. So at the same time I'm telling you that there was a jab and jab promo that week, they were trying to get people, oh, it's okay, it's so rare, these side effects. In fact, these side effects are major, they're serious and deadly. In fact, the first one is death. When you get a blood clot in the places they're talking about, you're dead. U.S. Now, after they did the big promo, you can see how screwed up this really is for folks. U.S. will temporarily halt use of Johnson, the jab and jab COVID-19 vaccine. Federal agencies will temporarily stop U.S. using Johnson & Johnson one-dose vaccine after 6 women develop blood clots. And they'll say, oh, but that's rare. Don't worry about it. Do you want to be that one? You don't know. Well, if I get there, you're going to find some young stud got taken down and killed because of this stuff. You can't tell. This is the thing, part of it, if I didn't have any other thought. The United States government, after bringing out, did the big jab and jab promotion, halted it within the week. And Cryptogon.com wants to remind us, when the Pfizer CEO, Albert Bourla, said people will likely need a booster dose of COVID-19 vaccine within 12 months of getting the fully vaccinated, that means you're not vaccinated, the lie in the first sentence. Cryptogon.com wants us to remind us that back in 2009, I think it was some pharmaceutical named Brexta or something like that. Pfizer was named by the Justice Department. You can get the link to the Justice Department announcing the largest healthcare fraud settlement in its history, $2.3 billion. I think we reported on all this, the memory hole type stuff, that Pfizer, the P is silent, like pharmaceuticals, that they were found with Upjohn as a unit, they're both together, resolve a criminal and civil liability case. Who thinks that this company hasn't been doing this as well? But now it's okay, see, because the government agrees with this. So they aren't going to be found, right? So they are not beyond doing the crime and agreeing that they did the crime. And the government's not beyond trying to get after them. But now, apparently, that's not a problem. They're doing the worst fraud. Pharma's doing the worst fraud, and the government is helping. In fact, we'll hear in a moment the contracts. But let's remind ourselves, and a news notice came to the front. I made a quick response about this, or report to you, that the former Pfizer VP, Vice President, your government is lying to you in a way that could lead to your death. Now, he's moving from Pfizer into the government doing this. And so, guess where the government lies and the public-private partnership agrees, the private nature of the private corporations like the tech monopolies agree, then the government won't go after you. So understand that might be one of the problems with the legislation not being going, because they want the war against you, this cyber theater. They want this type of problem. Dr. Michael Yeadon, Pfizer's former vice president of chief scientist of allergy and respiratory, who has spent 32 years in the industry leading new medicines research and retired from the pharmaceutical giant with the most senior research position in the field, spoke to LifeSite News in a telephone interview, and he addressed the demonstrably false propaganda from governments in response to COVID-19, including the lie of the dangerous variants and totalitarian potential for vaccine passports, and the strong possibility we are dealing with conspiracy which could lead to something far beyond the carnage experienced in the wars of the massacres of the 20th century. I want to focus on one little thing here that could lead. This is a gentleman who was an insider, if you will, part of pharmaceutical, who came out and made a video, hey, they're messing with you, be careful. In this article, he tells you he's just come around to what I've been telling you behind the woodshed since last March. And he says it's a possible conspiracy. Conspiracies are just working together, but this is criminal conspiracy. He's just now come around to seeing this is way bigger than he ever thought before. I want you to read what he says. Very important. I will go through more. You need to read. Again, I think people need to see the black and white for themselves. This is a slow kill. It's free enslaved. Yeah, this is a slow kill. If it doesn't kill you within a few weeks, yeah, it's going to be that thing. You just don't know is the problem. But this Pfizer, former Pfizer rep, he is coming out now with a rethink. And is completely in line, pretty much completely in line with what I've been explaining for a year now, what this was all to do and to come about. He still is hesitant as to what he wants to actually call out, for as forthright as he is. But you, this is, so I guess my point on this is, what is my point? This is a guy who was in it, who still didn't come to it for a year. And so I guess those of us that watch it with despair, our friends going down and accepting, we've got to, I said, stop, we can't judge, and we may have that despair. We can only start being that stalwart, that example of how we know and where to go to get this information that keeps us ahead, not a year behind, but ahead of what's going on. And so I offer this to a gentleman from the system itself, from inside, seeing it. Now he's rethunk what he thought and says, who would have thunk it? It's even worse than I thought. And what he comes up with in that reassessment is most, lots and lots of what I've said and you see is going on today in the direction that it's taking. And you saw the short list that I read. Moving into that, why Pfizer was paid $2.3 billion, but today they can go ahead and plunder the world. U.S. COVID contract details are a trade secret, according to the contractors. It's basically a rubber stamp, is the side statement here. As part of a reporting, we requested several Deloitte contracts unrelated to the vaccine system from the United States Food and Drug Administration. That agency also redacted similar information. It's basically a rubber stamp. All the redactions cited a rule in the Freedom of Information Act, commonly referred to Exemption 4, which allows companies to hide commercial information such as trade secrets from the public. The contractor, rather than the government, decides what is considered sensitive information. When a government agency receives a request, it sends that request to contractors who mark that they want to keep secret. All right, so this is part of it. There's government contracts. This is all commerce contracts. They've now pulled in trade secrets. It got me to laugh because that's the same thing I used on the cops on the river years and years ago, as I told you about when we were doing mining in a wild and scenic river, and they wanted to know what we were doing out there. They couldn't quite see our machine that was sitting out in the middle of a wide section. It took 5 minutes to come off to walk over the slippery rocks. Cops, sheriff wants to know what we were doing out there, and I looked out there and I noticed I couldn't hardly identify what it was. And I said, that's a trade secret what you're looking at out there. I can't tell you because then you'd know my secret of why I can be out there finding gold and no one else can. And that was kind of that was the end of our conversation after I've been talking to him for 20 minutes. I used the trade secret out. These guys are using the trade secret out. The problem with this is that's just a cover. Freedom of Information Act has an exemption. You can still now get a judicial review and you can get the court to pull it out anyway. The point is there's contracts going on with the government. It's why Harma is not getting hit with $2.3 billion worth of fraud charges on harmful pharmaceuticals that are agreed by the government. As your monopolies are agreed to by the legislature, that Justice Thomas is saying, the legislators have the basis by which they can actually bring them into accountability, like in New Mexico and New York now, and hopefully other jurisdictions, where the immunities now for public officials from having to obey the law are being lifted. It has to be stated. Again, I just say, I don't like that we have to work so hard at this, but this is the state of the occupation we now live. They're making it obvious. If it's not stated somewhere, you don't get it, for all you folks who think you have rights. In any rate, that's not my rule. It's just what I'm finding over decades of looking at it. I wish it was different. If you have another observation, please let me know. MarkOnTheBeast@yahoo.com. Excuse me. That's the old one. MarkOnTheBeast@protonmail.com. See how bad habits stick, folks. Video. DARPA is working on, you don't think it's a medical military theater, as I told you, going into December 2019, going into 2020, December 31st, I think I was going into this, or close thereby. Video. DARPA is working on COVID vaccine implantable microchip to detect viruses. When you read through this, it's really terrifying. That you know that that's not, they're not just detecting viruses. But the stupid statement here is what it detects is that something's going on. Some chemistry is going on in your body. That's what they're doing. So I looked at this thing and they bring up Fauci. And they said, well, this is a military, a little military video, I guess you can read. The military's involved. Why? Well, they are. I've told you why. They now can supposedly see that something's working. What they're seeing is your immune system is doing chemistry. What I looked at and said, well, the chemistry that they're going to be programming to look at is whether or not you're the vaccinated or not. And if you're not, you become, it's coming in the news too, stateless people. Where you sit becomes stateless. If you didn't know about property law and land law and how you're going to have to lock yourself onto that land, not be a free man on the land, but lock yourself to the right to the land, you are missing it here, folks. I've been trying to gear everybody up for this. This is a fascinating story. The military is involved. Those microchips they've been talking about, they're going to be looking at how good you're doing, how well you're, they can anticipate you're going to be sick. Now, just put it on the other side. They want to know whether or not you're going to be vaccinated, or you are, and whether your body's chemistry doing the right chemistry. Otherwise, you may become soon someone without a nation, if you will, and without the rights. Okay, this is the problem. Well, interestingly, comes up microchipping. They then bring up, this is a war theater. They're using the implantable chip. This is all, it becomes the Internet of Things. And the next story I read, looking through lists of things to read, Boston Dynamics robot tests in war training exercise. So if we didn't think that North Dakota use of flying drones and machine gun drones was bad years ago, the Boston Robotics robot dog, so to speak, give him a nice name, Spot, is now working with the military. They actually praised this machine to be able to go out and claim that it will be mounted with weapons. I know it sounds a little bit out there. When I saw that, and I saw this microchip, seems to me if they have these killer robot machines now out there searching for life forms without the chip, you might be in a world of hurt for a few seconds, but world of hurt nonetheless. When they decide that you don't have rights and you're a threat through medical lack of chemistry being found in your blood. In other words, you have to have that thing. If you don't have that thing giving a signal, then they're going to consider you a threat. Was a thought that occurred to me. But the robot dog is now, they're promoting how it's being used by the military. They're in urban areas. If you look at the pictures, they're in urban areas like we've been talked about in the metro urban type stuff, environment, that they would be bringing along this technology. You kind of knew it when you see it. Now it's happening. North Dakota was the lead. Robots can be used to shoot you. They're named killer robots here. This is no question now. They're just working out the logistics on how they work with them. It's nothing to say that these things will be on the prowl looking around for people that are compliant, whether that's by your phone, which is your leash, or that microchip, which they would then eventually get. They're making inroads in lots of places of technology, and it's doing it through the military. DARPA. Just like any of us who have been looking at this would have thought. It's here now, folks. I don't know what more to say. You're being governed, but you're not going to, you'd think you're being governed. It's the consent of the governed. You're not realizing where the consent is going to be and how easy. Nope. How much with ease? See how I did that, Vince? How much with ease those around you will fall and accept this because it's more convenient. This is not going to be a simple matter here. This is not going away. They're not doing all this just to put it back on the shelf. These corporations don't get involved with the military and the government to go away tomorrow. State to require COVID vaccination for those attending Burning Man 2021. What do I care about Burning Man? I'm never going to go to Burning Man. Do you see, though, how they're working out? The state now is doing this. Remember, the state authority for medicals right there in the state. The state require COVID vaccination. They're going to require this little microchip. When you go there, are they going to have Spot running around in some interesting little suit, running around checking to make sure everyone's got their microchip as a test bed? And if you don't, they shoot you or stun you as being a threat to the rest? I don't know, folks. Maybe that's a little bit hyperbolic. I don't think it's out of the ordinary where this thing has gone so fast. But over the years, Burning Man Festival has become one of the most popular events and party destinations in the U.S. and has drawn tens of thousands of people in recent years. Unfortunately, the celebration of love and harmony is an enemy to the rigid bureaucracy and control freaks in the state. Although a lot of those people are of the liberal mind, too. So I don't know if they're going to not like it or not. They may embrace it. How law enforcement attempted to turn the event into a police state function with random vehicle searches on past reports we've done here and at this article. The response to what we did with the BLM, this is not be a Black Lives Matter. It's a Bureau of Land Management implemented drug screening checkpoints at all entrances to see if people were showing up with drugs in their system. So this is a federal jurisdiction, and they have state sanction. Okay, so you got to go through jurisdictionally to see how they're able to do it. They're going to require, this looks to me like a test bed. I don't see how there won't be Boston Dynamic robots running around looking for the evidence of your compliance with the medical tyranny. To me, this would seem natural. That you don't see it doesn't mean that I'm not saying something that could happen. I'm saying that's how they set this up. Do you want to go on the trip? You'll get your vaccination. If you don't, and you want to start to understand what kind of a prison you are in, and then maybe hopefully work to it to stop it, then maybe you're one of us. I mean, those of us that are really trying to grab this thing by the horns and do something at all. Again, numbers will help. So Burning Man is going to be the height of focus. The state is focusing on these things. Nobody, as I've seen, and I've been advocating the people that come communicate with me, tell all these folks that are there how to get at what they need to get at. Again, the Virginia case was really simple. You don't have to know as much as I've suggested you should know, but you can assert the challenge. Where was they demonstrated the necessity for doing this, and then how did any one participant, how anyone was a risk to society that they can do any of this? But you notice the feds now are relying on the state to implement the obstruction, or the oppression. And this is the point. It is from a state thing. But it's our desire to do things. And you're going to, as I've said before, I shut my lifestyle way down. I just started expecting less, living with less. And therefore, if I put myself into austerity sooner, then they're going to have to go, these people, those oppressors, will have to go a far piece before they really start to affect me. Yes, my life is already austere, but it's on the premise of looking, maybe it's a fool's errand, that we're going to go there anyway without our choice. Maybe we should go there before, prepare, and move from there so we can't be affected, we can be effective longer against this kind of oppression. As we find out, all these licensures and contracts that are trade secrets now, folks, fascinating. 142 fully vaccinated people in Houston test positive for COVID. Did you get that, folks? In the title, I don't have to read the story. 142 fully vaccinated people in Houston test positive for COVID. But it's rare, folks. It's not very many number. Any one of those is the problem. Vaccinated people that test for COVID is the problem, right? We don't even know what the test is. It's PCR likely. And we don't even know how they figured that out. We don't know what their cycles are. And I'm going to suggest something. They can now start moving it down in cycles. Because why? They're actually injecting you concentrated material so that they don't have to run as many cycles in order to get that positive test that they can then claim, well, we only did 25 cycles and they still tested positive. If you don't, I mean, I hope you see that trick coming. But anyway, so they make a lot of statements here, the Chinese Communist Party virus. It's not, folks. It has nothing to do with that. These are all the problems you got to look through. Look at your local officials. Who declared the infectious agent on what report, the medical report? And when there wasn't one, as most of you found out that, well, all of you found out that did write, some of you that did write, you found there is no determination from any report because no report was actually filed the way the law said. They just declared this from the governor. But when you get that vaccine, you're going to be, you're going to have the COVID, okay? How they're not testing the others positive, I don't know. That's going to me, that's more interesting. But they're giving you I told you the jab and jab is you, that you are now the pandemic. And if you aren't one of those agents with your chip or whatever, phone or whatever, you may be subject to being outed for being an asymptomat and stateless without rights pretty quick, as we're seeing the world anticipating this whole thing. But anyway, 140 people in Houston. And I didn't want to do too many of these because it's endless. How many people are being harmed? They get COVID or they die. And so I'll do something pretty quickly. I'll name a couple just to show you that it's really not some good stuff here. And then I'm going to move on, but you can do your own check when I get to DuckDuckGo. Got a little link. You just check it. People who get COVID and die from these jabs is in the news. And if you need more proof that this is not so simple, this is not so safe, A young, healthy South Mississippi man suffers stroke hours after receiving J&J vaccine. Could you be him? He said he was healthy, young and healthy, and he still suffers a stroke. Well, from what? The blood clots? Will we ever know? Does it really matter? Is this what you want? Something that they have not determined. They're fighting something they've never determined. They've got a fire. They're spraying water from fire hoses on fires they don't even see. Is that what you want to be part of? So, the vaccinated people are getting COVID. You get the COVID, you get strokes. I mean, what else am I saying? That was one of the serious adverse effects. Okay, right to plan. How did 246 fully vaccinated people still get COVID-19? Someone goes through, try and discuss it with you. Oh, let's break it down. They use the PCR test, don't they, here, when you read it? Okay, it invalidates this whole discussion. They want to tell you how they did it. Well, they're not supposed to be doing it. Why? Because their vaccination is supposed to stop it. But no, you're going to need a booster too. Remember. Of course you're going to get this. And you're going to continue to get it. And they're going to continue to inject you to make sure that there's enough in there so when they can test at low cycles and or the microchip will pick it up so Spot won't shoot you in the street for being a risk to the rest of the community. Okay, maybe a little farther in the future, but mark my words behind mark on the beast, folks. I hope we don't come to that, and I hope maybe there's a pushback, but we'll see. Just put in a fully vaccinated die of COVID. That's all I put in. I just wanted to see what stories. Endless stories. They want to tell you it's rare. Endless stories, folks. Endless stories. You get COVID and you can die. But death is rare. Do you want to be that rare one? This is not a joke. And I hear nobody actually addressing asserting the challenge that they even have to be considered. Again, that luckily at this point, being asymptomatic is not a communicable disease. And as I said, maybe we shouldn't give these folks any ideas. Now here's what's starting to happen worldwide. Pretty astonishing. Well, for as bad as Twitter can be, it can also be a place of information. Again, if you give it a freedom to have information, it's there. Until you get cut off. But the eruption of refugee crisis and the global push for vaccine passports. Interesting story here about a place. Interesting dynamic to understand. The controversy erupted on Twitter even as the 32,000-foot-high plume of smoke from St. Vincent's La Sofiere, volcano was still rising in the sky. The firestorm on American social media platforms over reports that only those vaccinated against COVID-19 would be allowed to evacuate the Eastern Caribbean island shed light on the architects of the biosecurity state who have descended on St. Vincent and the Grenadines to explore the limits of mandatory public health protocols in the midst of a natural disaster. Now projected to, last month. Global organizations, NGOs, members of the scientific community are coordinating emergency response efforts in St. Vincent. Power outages, no clean water, and continued volcanic eruptions have rendered parts of the island virtually uninhabitable, plunging Vincentians who have managed to escape into a condition of quasi-statelessness where notions of human rights and civil rights become malleable. Take note, people. I don't have a volcano in my backyard. You don't need one. All you need is another emergency. Refugees are in a position of complete vulnerability. Well, you don't want to be a refugee, do you? You better start understanding how you're going to avoid that status. You're going to have to hunker down where you is and have your necessities taken care of so they can't do this to you. And if you do have to move about, you're going to have the words I've been telling you in you to be able to address it. And hopefully you've done it right before you've got your paperwork so that it starts to speak for you ahead of time. Because in this case, there's no guarantees. If you're a stateless one with no even civil liberties. They didn't say civil rights here. They said human rights. That's international. That's not very good. But they said civil liberties. Are you going to have protection against Spot? when they don't get the signal from their microchip that you are chemically viable? In other words, your private property of Harma. The constitutional law professor and data privacy expert addressed some of the issues. Why'd they go to they're in the middle of a volcanic eruption. Why'd we go to data privacy? Is the point. It's the hub. The Internet of Things is global. Is what they're doing. They're making people stateless. What is that? That's just moving you into the international sphere. The sphere. You're a citizen of the world. The world is no place. The world is not a state. They're telling you exactly how their plan's working out here, if you understood a little bit of an international law, a little bit of what's going on. And they say this, they pass the statelessness off, despite the fact, like it doesn't exist, that there's a supposed law against statelessness. To show you that there is no rules, actually. It's just agendas. And don't forget Gavi, the Gates thing, is involved in this, NGOs that are involved in this. They descended on this place to make people vulnerable. The constitutional law professor and data privacy expert addressed some of the issues surrounding the plight of refugees as biometric data like retinal scans, fingerprinting, and even gender became a pillar. Remember the three pillars of the sustainable development? Pillar of identifying documentation and incipient travel requirements in the wake of the pandemic. Quote, while biometrics can be useful for identification purposes, mistakes do happen. You should put that on your list. Mistakes do happen. Oh, the jabs. Yeah, mistakes do happen. So what? So what? You don't have any civil liberties anyway. Spot, we have something for you. Do our light work. Most at risk from these mistakes, abuse and racial profiling arise from racial profiling, you asymptomatic. I don't get focused on color. I don't get focused on what everybody else says is racist. This is just groups that are re-isolated. Some people may find that offensive. I've made the chicken example. I eat chicken. That makes me a racist because there's another group. I eat them. Okay, so that makes me a racist. It's just a grouping. It's a different grouping. It has nothing to do with the political tension that they use it for. When you look at what this is about, you are an asymptomat. You're healthy. You become able to be racially profiled by the fact of the lack of your signal to spot. How did I figure that out? It's the same reason when I'm going down the road, they have those markers in the highway, and I realized after a while, I think, oh, well, that would be great. I wouldn't have to have your box and your travel to tracker. I won't have it. Then it dawned on me. I'm thinking wrong. It means if they sense my car go over that and there is no signal, they'll be on me. Same thing here. Funny how similar principles work no matter where you apply them, and they're all negative to you. When you live in an occupied territory as an oppressor. The mistakes and abuse of racial profiling, you asymptomatic, arising out of the biometric digital identity system, which you're not part of, which identifies you as such, are those who need for the state is made indispensable by virtue of being rendered stateless. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about when I'm talking about Jefferson Mining District as a government of miners, you may just start to understand the power behind what that does in your psyche to understand you are not stateless and where you're going to go to maintain status and connection to the ground. Not a free man on the land because you're not free. You're doing it because you're not free. You're doing it because you got an oppressor that you're going to have to answer against. And it's the awesomeness of the government, the fire that will discriminate against no one. Until you become a problem and then you're gone. You have no civil liberties and Spot can take care of you. No wonder Google got rid of Don't Be Evil. Now they bought up Biodynamics or they sold it off. It's all part of their big ABC conglomerate. Free agents with no agency are prime targets for global entities like the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, which claims to speak for close to 80 million forcibly displaced people. They speak for those that have no ability to speak for themselves. They just took that authority from those people. You can't be one of those. They will just do it. They're sitting there telling you these agencies are there to take the ability. Vincentians who are unable or refuse to leave the island are likely to be reclassified as internally displaced persons. You're just going to be reclassified. Or IDPs, another kind of refugees as defined by the UNHCR. You better be able to figure out how to take, get rid of their authority as well. Such classifications, class, I think there's no prejudice and no class here. Here's classifications. You're in a class, a caste system, are part of the vast structure of laws and guidelines enshrined in the archives of supranational state entities like the European Commission and the United Nations, based on the Convention of the Protocol relating to status of refugees, which establishes international rules governing the treatment and rights of refugees whose numbers have nearly doubled in 2012, ballooning from 45.2 million displaced, in quotes, displaced, to 79 million by someone marking on a digital entry that you are an internally displaced person. If you think you have any concept over what's working here, I don't think you do. This is what I've been talking to. You could be right in a place and they'll just make a classification. Now, what do you do with that? Well, you should see it coming. And you better have an answer to all that. I don't know. I've been suggesting it all to you. But I don't know what to say more. Some people don't want to hear more. They're done. They're going to eventually be the ones that take the bullet or take the shot. You're going to get shot. Which one are you? Is it needle or is it going to be lead? Is it spot? So, understand, internally displaced persons. This is just a status they put on you. And this is, in a way, terrifying. This is just telling us, and it's all done through this biosecurity stuff. It's just telling us the plan that they could do. They can do this through an emergency in the United States, in Canada, and Australia sounds like they're going to be doing it. They're setting it up for it right now through the cyber war theater called the Internet. You're just going to be this threat. And then they make you stateless. And so you're going to have to understand the state you actually live in and be able to identify them as the occupier that has no lawful basis. And a few of us may not be able to actually really defend that too much. More might. I know the numbers are out there. They're going to have to coalesce a lot better. And in the future, again, as we talk about what they're willing to do, the chimera that they are willing to create you into. As I told you this a long while ago, what so-called science, remember, you're not ruled by science, you're supposed to be ruled by the law. And these scientists are ruling the day and underneath this technocratic non-terror nonsense. And I told you a long time ago that once they broach the idea of genetically modifying, what they'll call humans, the animal, man and women, when they started to do that, they broke the seal, if you will. And the problem becomes, where's the limit? And I said there's no limit. That shortly, you would actually be able to, well, you're going to hear about this happening. In the what they want, they'll make a chimera of people. They're willing to. They got to go soft in one other area about actually making embryos. But here it is today, this week, I think it was reported, scientists have created embryos that are part human, part monkey. And I reported about this with the monkey finally getting enough rights. Remember the monkey rights they were trying to give to monkey that they were bringing, encroaching in, giving the animal rights to monkeys? And they found out, remember, that a monkey would take the bananas and hand them to a female monkey would give his bananas to a female monkey in order to give gifts to her so that she would be receptive. And I anticipated that would be no different than this human monkey chimera, which they allowed this time for 20 days before they destroyed it, they said, that this would allow that human monkey chimera to have cradle to grave rights, test tube to garbage can rights, that they would give an EBT card to this monkey, and this monkey would just take that down and go to the first light pole downtown. He would get his bananas and would run over and do that. And so you see how they're going to manipulate you into your animal nature. They're not, I told you, once they broke the seal, they were going to go back to it, and they have. Now we are being told they've created the embryo part monkey, part man, part human, they say. and they want to say, give the magnanimous approach that they need human organ transplantation. I've told you that they were going to do this as well. They want to give you the warm and fuzzy need. What you don't, may not realize, some of you do, unless, no absolutes, is that they're going to, they've allowed you to be a chimera with these jabs. They are allowing that software of life in you to proprietize you, making you private property to a corporation. It's going to be also like private contract to the government. And don't go too far away from the fact that the government is inside the boards, like Clint Richardson will have told you years and years ago. The government's all part of this control as well inside the structures of the corporations, that they are willing to make you less of a people. They're willing to do that in the science lab, and they're doing that while they make this story as a big deal. Oh, they killed the embryo. They're doing that in these jabs where they are the software of biology. They tell you, they promise that. The international team, remember, international statelessness is here, described the process of creating the monkey-human embryos known as chimera, in a paper published in Cell, a major breakthrough that also raises some serious ethical questions. Well, they did it, so there is really no ethical questions. They're just trying to promote that someone's thinking that they care, and so maybe you're going to look past it. They're doing this to you, not to the embryo you. They're doing this to you in the jab. Look very carefully. They also have technology about messing with your stem cells in that very same thing, which is the core of how you rebuild yourself. And so, again, I told you this before. I said it wasn't going to stop. They're just going to slowly, incrementally bring it on to us. I said they're going to do it for something like organ transplant. But here it is. And due to some tech diffs, we'll have to end the broadcast right there. Thank you, Grimner, for what you do at reallibertymedia.com and the archives and the broadcaster for everyone. And syndicators, thank you for what you do spreading the word. I'll be with you next week. Tech diffs or nature willing.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Can of whoop ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop ass.